Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Monday, Monday, Monday. Monday, Monday, Monday. Your minisode or mine. I don't really care about it anymore. That was Monday, Monday, Monday by your jam, Tegan and Sarah.
I sure do be loving Tegan and Sarah.
Dang. Well, happy minisode Monday, everyone. Last one of 2021. Can you believe it?
Oh, happy New Year, you all.
We also, at some point in the last 2 weeks that we forgot to look up past our minisode birthday because we started them in December of last year. So shoot, 1 year older and wiser too, happy minisode to you. My name is Ian Allred and I'm a mini gleek.
Well, my name is Lena Knatzer and I'm a mini gleek. We should have known last week was literally mini 52. Silly geese we are.
But the first minisode, remember we did that thing for literally 1 week where we were like, we're only going to do minisodes every other week.
Which, like, honestly, what were we thinking?
We underestimated how many opinions people had about Glee, frankly.
And I remember, like, if so many people were like, where's the minisode? Where's the minisode? And I was like, we're just going to do it every other week. And they're like, stop that, idiots. And I said, I love you guys. Said, you keep me
Roger
young.
That. We will stop.
I said, Roger, I am a worker for the people was, I think, what Truly. I was going to say. Merry Christmas to you, Ian. Today is Friday, December 24th, back in the past for us.
Woo! Christmas Eve!
Christmas Eve! Are you so excited? Do you have fun plans today?
I love Christmas Eve, mostly because all the, like, exciting stuff about Christmas hasn't happened yet, so you still have that to look forward to. And you can just, like, chill and hang out. And then Christmas Eve night, we normally eat soup.
That sounds great.
Like a family tradition. We eat soup and we have crackers and cheese. And then we, like, sit around the Christmas tree. We put on a fire. We, of course, do the Christian thing of, like, reading out of Luke 2 in the Bible. Then we sing some songs and we go to bed, baby.
Holler.
Do you have any special plans for today?
You know, I got the regular plans. my mom and stepdad are going to see Spider-Man today.
So, heck yeah.
I know. I'm not going with them because I've already seen it. And I'm headed to my dad's house today at 4. We do this thing. Oh my gosh, this is like my favorite Christmas tradition with my dad's family. It's like you've seen it on TikTok. We get like a ball of like fun things and meaning like gift cards and like little like dollar store toys, and we wrap them in saran wrap, and then like we all put on fuzzy gloves and we like all have to unwrap it, but the person in front of you is like rolling dice, and if they roll doubles you have to stop. So like if you unwrap
that game.
It is so fun. It gets, hear me out, violent. Like I have like my youngest cousin on that side. There's only 5 kids on my dad's side, so I mean it's not a lot, but the youngest cousin, he is like, god, I think he's 12, but like fully he's like been 9 years old, and I have like gotten in the car and cried because he got an iTunes gift card and I didn't, because I'm a dumb bitch.
No, I get that.
I've been like
a
fully like a 20-year-old like, why does he get it and not me? And I'm walking away with like an Xbox gift card and I'm like, I can't even use this. He wouldn't let me trade. Which is like, I'm such a brat, but we're probably going to do that today. We love to play games. Probably going to play Codenames. Watching a film. I don't know what film yet, but we'll see. And then I've made it known we're not doing Christmas this year. So we're just having dinner tomorrow with my family because we're not doing presents because.
Because you got a cruise, baby. You got to redeem that last cruise where you got sick.
True. Oh, my God. You have no idea. I have so many, like, things with medication. I'm really nervous, though, that it's going to get canceled because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, listen, I could use the cash if it gets canceled, but I'll just be really sad.
Yeah, cruises are fun.
I know. Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Catalina Island in California?
Mm-mm.
I was on a big Girl Scout trip. And I promise we'll get to the minisode.
No.
We were going to, we were spending just like a ton of time in California on this Girl Scout trip. We went to Disneyland for a day. We went to Universal for a day. We were just doing a bunch of fun things. And one day we were all really excited. This was like the day I was most excited for. We were going to Catalina Island. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yeah. And so, you know, they take you out on this, like, essentially, like, some sort of yacht thing.
Yes.
Like, big boat. And I got a bagel and cream cheese on the boat.
Heck yeah.
And something about whatever was going on made me so sick. Whatever was going on, meaning I get sick on every boat I've ever been on. And I, listen, sister, oh my goodness, as the boat was docking, I always find that, like, cars parking, boats docking, like, the slow, like, moving, but, like, turning really, like, freaks my body out. Like,
yes.
More so than even just, like, cruising, like, going forward. It's, like, when the boat is docking, I get really sick. So, boat's docking. I am not having it. And everyone is lining up to get out off of the boat. So, I'm in this line. I'm nowhere near a bathroom. So, I get sick. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to puke on this boat. And I was like, what do people do on movies? I'm like 12 years old. I'm a child. Maybe I was 13. 14 maybe. And I literally, like, push everyone out of the way.
Yes.
I push the worker out of the way and puke off the side of the boat. And I remember her screaming at me, "We have a bathroom." And I remember more so than anything, I just thought that was so mean that she yelled at me. Like, I remember just crying and crying and crying. And to my Girl Scout leader, I was like, she was such a bitch. I was, like, calling her a bitch. I was, like, 14. Like, I have no business calling an adult woman a bitch. But I was just so embarrassed. And I think I was just, like, pinning my embarrassment on this woman for yelling at me rather than, like, myself for eating a bagel and cream cheese as a 14-year-old on a boat. So... that's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, my cruise. Really exciting. Merry Christmas, everyone, if you celebrate Christmas. Yeah.
Happy New Year, baby.
Oh, my gosh, it's the new year. Okay, before we go crazy, let's get into this mini-sode, shall we?
Heck, yeah.
Let's kick things off with our friend. You know her. You love her. It's Danae, baby.
Hey, Ian and LPC. First, some fact-checking. Ali Stroker was actually accepted for the first season of The Glee Project, but rejected the place because she was cast in a run of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee at the Paper Mill Playhouse as Olive Ostrovsky. Ali, you made the right decision there. I would have done the same thing.
Totally. I've also seen clips of her doing Olive, and she is so good. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I should look it up.
Yeah, it's really special. She is awesome.
All right, back to Danae. Mm-hmm. I find the concept of inspire me to write you a character so weird. I understand they can't make all the contestants audition for the same character, but it also feels unfair to make the contestants feel responsible for creating a character, especially since some episodes require them to be fully themselves, while others require them to play into a characteristic that isn't close to themselves necessarily. I feel like it would have been fairer if the show had given them a few archetypes they could choose to audition for. It became very obvious in the beginning of season 4 that Glee just wants the new characters to be carbon copies of the original characters. And so the contestants could just choose an archetype to play, like the jock, the cheerleader, the nerd, etc. It still would have given them enough of a chance to change details about this character they're auditioning for, but it also gives them enough boundaries to play into. It now feels like all of them are trying to be someone Ryan could write for, and then he says, "Be yourself, I can't write for this persona you've created." And then when they're themselves, Ryan says, "You're so boring, I can't write for you." But none of that should be the kids' responsibility. They're not auditioning to be in the Glee writer's room. I agree that it shouldn't be necessary to lay yourself completely bare for your career to work out. On the other hand, Glee has such a habit of taking their actors' insecurities and putting them on the show, so the vulnerability assignment felt very much like a look into how little Ryan Murphy and co. view the boundaries of their employees. I kind of wish that the Damien we see in these early episodes could have inspired more of Rory. I think it could have been a really funny running joke if Rory kept misremembering lyrics throughout season 3, the way Damien forgot the lyrics to Jesse's Girl. But instead, they just took the most boring parts for some reason. I hope you have an amazing week, and I can't wait for your next episode, Danae, she, her.
Wouldn't it have been so cute
to, yeah, well,
to like have Rory on there just being a goober and like not remembering the lyrics to songs? I do think it like gets up into their capitalism bullshit where they're like, they can't sell that. Mm-hmm. And then people, you know what I mean? So I'm sure that that's the reason why they wouldn't do that.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been so cute for Rory to encapsulate literally any part of Damien's personality besides the country he grew up in?
No, which like, that's so awesome that he's Irish. I just think that, you know, he's...
That's also not a personality trait. Like, I know. Obviously, where you grew up does, like, inform who you are to a degree.
And, like, your culture is something that is, like, very special and, like, something that, like, obviously, like, molds who you are in a way, obviously, but reducing, like, someone to it is...
I know, it's... Yeah. Rory is, having watched the Glee project now, Rory is a huge missed opportunity.
Absolutely, yeah.
Also, Danae, Ryan Murphy, 100%, I totally agree, is like, I gotta fish these kids' trauma because now I can write episodes about their trauma because then they'll relate to it on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And it's so gross and it's so stupid. And I read this interview with Lindsay Pierce where she talks about kind of the vulnerability assignment and how... she views it, which I don't blame her. She is 19 years old. You know, Glee is still in its heyday at this time. Totally. Like, season 2 had just aired. People hadn't really soured to it yet. And she's, like, really kind of defending Ryan in the situation. And she says, like, I mean, because Glee is kind of, like, half fiction, half factual, because they take a lot of real-life inspiration from, like, hard things the actors have gone through. And, like, she's saying it as a good thing, which I understand, as I said. Like, she was very young. This man had just given her a job. Mm-hmm. But, like, that...
And, like, people can think that that's a good thing. Yeah. It is, like, the opinion of the podcast that that's not a good thing. It can, like, if Lindsay thinks that that's a good thing, that's, you know, that's totally her opinion, you know?
Yeah. But it's just, like, it was no secret that that's what was happening.
Yeah.
That, like, totally. Ryan was just taking... these actors' insecurities and stuff that had happened to them and being like, well, put that in the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because I, like, obviously, you know, you write what you know. And so they're, like, perfect example, Rachel Bloom. She wrote Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And obviously Rachel Bloom is not Rebecca Bunch, not even close. Rebecca Bunch is, like, incredibly unstable and Rachel Bloom is pretty stable. But, like, a lot of that show is inspired by Rachel Bloom's real life. But, like, here's the deal. Rachel Bloom is the one who is writing it about her own life. So, like, good for her. Ryan Murphy is just like, oh, are you insecure about this? I'm going to put that in the script and then make you talk like, about
that's
it.
That's a huge assumption that I want to talk about that. Yeah.
Hey.
Ay, ay, ay. Danae, thank you so much for this email. Up next, we have a message from Yanula.
Hey, Ian and LPC, your girl Yanula, and holy guacamole, do I have opinions about the Glee project. So, unlike most Gleeks that started in their youth and fell out of love with this godforsaken show, I, because I hate myself, decided to watch Glee for the first time at the tender age of 18. Have I watched it about 7 times in its entirety since then? Maybe. Am I proud of the fact that I know every single song that has ever been on Glee, and if I hear it in real life, I tell the people around me? Why, yes, I am.
I have to interrupt. I love doing that. You can keep going.
All right. This next little bit talks about EDs, so just trigger warning. If you got to skip ahead, hit that skip ahead button now, baby. Because I started watching Glee so late in life, I never felt it necessary to watch the Glee Project. I mean, I know the Damien and the Twig with culturally inappropriate hair one. Why would I watch it? However, I will literally listen to anything you two produce, so I'm listening to the Glee Project episodes and loving it. My main problem with the Glee Project is the anorexia portion of the vulnerability episode. As a, when saying this bit, you should make it a little sing-songy, just because it's more fun. Recovering anorexic! Glee has triggered me many a time. Whether it's the season one Mercedes Sees Food episode, or the Alex skip ahead 30 seconds, or like, you know, anyone who cares about spoilers, skip ahead 30 seconds right now.
Alex is just the president of the fan club.
He is. Or the Marley passing out plot line. It's always hard to see young girls on the screen feeling my feelings and acting on them. I normally am okay while watching it because, well, the writers are dum-dums and I can internally recognize that. But the idea of putting anorexic on a poster and walking around with it made me start crying for that poor girl. An eating disorder has so much negative stigma attached to it, and every single person I have ever told about my ED never looks at me the same again. I'm thought of as sick or crazy or plain stupid. That poor girl was probably so scared and triggered the whole time. I just want to hug her to make her feel better. Because of that exact moment, I simply cannot ever watch The Glee Project. And fuck Ryan Murphy. That being said, Ian, my dear, you loved Survivor. I've never seen it. Please, please, please give Survivor tropes to The Glee Project. I want to hear your analysis so badly. Okay, besties, that's all I got for you. I love you two, five ever, and I hope you have a great day and five bucks on the ground. Yanula, she, her, from Youngstown, Ohio.
Yanula, thank you so much for this message. And I absolutely understand where you're coming from, where you say you're not going to watch The Glee Project. And I absolutely respect that because Ryan Murphy does not respect that. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel so bad watching this show because it is so fun. And it's so, like, so many moments are, like, so silly and so cringy and so, like, you know, your theater kid friends are being silly on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, like, every once in a while you have a moment like this that is just, like, this crossed a line here. And this is, mm-hmm. like, hurting people who are watching it. And Yanula, I really appreciate your message and I appreciate everything you said. And I just, Ryan Murphy, especially with his plots with young women, and maybe that's because of my lens as well, I just think they're so egregious. And it sucks seeing them not just put onto characters, but put onto, like, real girls, real women coming on this show and suffering for our enjoyment. Like, it just, it's so shitty, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. It is like marketed as like exactly what you said, where it's like you have to put yourself through pain for the audience, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to be on the show, like, that's what you're going to have to do.
Right. And they encourage it. And that's like kind of the expectation. And, you know, the people who are like doing the best in the show have to like put their most vulnerable foot forward. And it's just like, oh, man. I don't know that this was the safe way to do that, you know, because, and I said, I think we said it in the episode, I think it's something very empowering to own your trauma and the things that make you you and the things that, you know, I think it's very powerful to do that, but it's also powerful when it's on your own terms, you know, not when it's like being like prodded out of you, you know?
Yeah. Well, shoot.
That being said, do you want to talk about Survivor for a little bit?
Dang, yeah, okay. Who? I haven't put as much thought into this as I did to the Glee characters, meaning I put very little thought into it. We're just going to kind of go.
Honestly, it'll be fun.
There's two options where it's just like you view the Glee Project as Survivor exactly, mm-hmm. and you view the boot order as Survivor exactly, mm-hmm. but that's less interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's a little different because if they were voting mm-hmm. each other out, I think that's the magic of Survivor.
Yes.
Is that it's Jeff Probst has nothing to do with the damn thing. You know what I mean?
Which Honestly, that's something I've been thinking a lot when I was, I mean, like, I know I talk about Survivor all the time recently on this podcast.
But it's just, because we just had a Survivor end, you know, we're very, exactly. Yeah, it's on the mind.
But just watching the Glee Project, I was like, this is why Survivor is so good, because no one can play God. Like, Ryan Murphy is on, like, such a power trip on this episode, and sometimes his boots don't really make any sense. He's just kind of like, you know what, I'm gonna toy with these kids, which, like, hear more about that on Wednesday's episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Survivor, like, rarely is anyone ever powerful enough that they can just, like, play God. Like, you always have to humble yourself enough to, like, get the numbers on your side.
And if they do enough to, like, get to the end, they're not being voted for, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, when people are voted out, it's like no one's ever voted out on a whim because they had to convince the majority of the people to vote with them. I love that show. Anyways, so dang, what are we looking at for the Glee Project? I got the cast in front of me. Let's see, who would win in a Survivor season?
I think I know who I think would win.
Oh my gosh, who do you think would win?
Okay, hear me out. Here's who I think would win.
Yeah,
I think Samuel would win.
I can see that.
I think that everyone in the cast, like, no one really has beef with him from what we've heard, the information we have, other than, tune in for next week. But no one has, like, real beef with him. And everyone kind of, like, sees that Samuel is, like, a force to be reckoned with. People want him to be on their team. People, like, really respect Samuel. He, like, does a good job in all of the assignments. He really doesn't get in trouble, you know what I mean? So I think he would, like, certainly make it to the end, and I think he would have a lot of, like, friends on his side.
I agree. I think Mateus and Ellis are leaving very, very soon, because I think, and I actually, like, man, I really love Ellis. That poor girl just, like, was so self-conscious. But I think that's kind of an attitude that you can't super have on Survivor. Like, I think Mateus and Ellis would just be so focused on themselves, they wouldn't be making relationships with the team. I think they're, like, getting the boot early.
Build a fire, Ellis, please.
You seriously, like, like, we stop, you stop being drop your ego. So concerned that the tribe doesn't like you, and, like, help the tribe make a camp.
Like, go braid some trees for a second, please.
Those people I feel so bad for when I watch Survivor, because, like, I get it, but it's also so hard because there will be people that the first few episodes, they're just like, everyone on this tribe hates me and I'm so self-conscious and I don't fit in. And it's like, in reality, like, yeah, they're probably better friends with everyone else, but mostly just people want you to be helping around camp and you're not. And, like, you're so down on yourself that it's just making it worse.
Like, are you helping the tribe succeed? Then they probably tolerate you, you know?
Seriously. Frankly, I'm going to be honest. I think Hannah makes it, like, pretty far through the merge. I think Hannah is, like, exactly. I think Hannah is, like, so charismatic and, like, such a joy in camp life. And also Hannah's a really hard worker that I think she is, like, really helping around the camp, that I think, people are, like, keeping her around because they just love her so much. I do not think she makes it to the end, but I think she makes it to the jury phase, which is after the merge.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I do think that Alex, with the information that we have, meaning we have watched further than episodes that have come out, I do think that he maybe makes it to the merge, but I think he rocks the boat a little bit too much in the Glee Project. And especially with, like, you know, spoiler alert for next week, you know, he rocks the boat. So I do think that that would, like, ruffle some feathers, and I think they'd send him home. I don't think he would make it to the end.
I don't think he makes it to the merge, frankly, for that exact reason.
Totally.
I think he gets too defensive and people wouldn't like it and they give him the boot.
Yeah. What do you think about Lindsay?
Gall. I think, you know, I think if Lindsay and Emily are on the same tribe, one of them has to go. I think it is the dueling Lindsay and Emily alliances. If Lindsay and Emily are on opposite tribes, which is more exciting, I think they both make it to the merge and then immediately become each other's number one targets.
Yeah.
And they're trying to, like, rally numbers against each other.
Yeah, totally. I do get the sense from Lindsay that she would, like, people would want to get her out because they, like, just think she's so annoying. Mm-hmm. And then she would like just win individual immunities and like at the worst times. You know what I mean? It's like, damn it. It was Lindsay this week.
I love when that happens.
I know, me too.
When the first half of the episode, everyone's like, Lindsay's going home tonight, so she better win that immunity. Like, and then she does.
Stand her.
And everyone's like, no, what do we do now?
I know. I think of like when it's all the girls on, what's it called? On Micronesia. And what's his face gets it. Eric. And they don't even clap. They're like, oh, shit. And then it like 30 seconds goes by and they're like, Yay, Eric. And Eric knows. But then that's the week, you guys. That's the week. I won't spoil it. Alex will be mad.
Man, that is one of the best Survivor episodes of all time. Yeah. Straight up.
It is. Honestly, I was biting my nails the whole time. It was so good. You guys gotta watch that that season. If you don't watch any season of Survivor, watch that one first.
It's on Netflix, baby.
Mm-hmm, so good. Okay, that's what I think about Lindsay.
I think Damien is the biggest social threat in the game. Oh, I think he's easily. The one that everyone loves. And because of that, everyone is like, we cannot let Damien get to the end. Yeah. He will beat anyone in a final three.
Because absolutely, he's got my vote if he's in the mm-hmm. final three.
So I think Damien gets out like sixth mm-hmm. because they keep him in for the beginning of the merge just because people like him. Mm-hmm. And then when it's getting close to the finals, they're like, we can't keep keeping this kid in the game. Yeah, he has totally. Got to get out.
Totally.
Let's see. We still got Bryce, Marissa, Cameron, and McKinley. Mm. I mean, judging by the Glee Project, McKinley gets a purple edit, I guess.
Yeah. I really, truly.
I think she makes it to the merge, though. McKinley, her heart was never really in the Glee Project, mm-hmm. but she always did what she was told.
Yeah. I'm sure she like is good for like the team mm-hmm. and like, you know, they win the competitions and not because McKinley is not like trying her best. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, she puts her best foot forward.
Yeah. She never like emerges as a leader, mm-hmm. But she also never causes problems. Yeah. So honestly, I think she probably doesn't have
huge alliances probably either.
I think McKinley, frankly, I'm going to be straight up. Mm. I think McKinley makes it to the end with Samuel.
Okay.
Because she never makes herself a leader, so she never puts herself in like a place of danger.
Yeah, no one really sees like her as a mm-hmm. threat. Yeah.
But she's a hard enough worker that no one like, you know, is annoyed with her and gets mm-hmm. the boot. But then Samuel beats her because she gets to the end and everyone's like, well, McKinley, like, what did you do? She has no moves of her own to take credit for. Totally. Exactly. She says, I survived. All right. Cameron, Marissa, Bryce. I think Bryce is a pre-merger because of his attitude.
Oh, yeah. His tude would be terrible for Cameron.
I think Bryce is like Austin and Pearl Islands mm-hmm. where they keep him. He wants to go home on like week three mm-hmm. and they keep him until like week five because they're like, Bryce, but you're so good in challenges, but he's such a pill around camp that they're finally mm-hmm. like, okay, fine, we will send you home. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Marissa and Cameron?
Okay. I think Marissa would be great at Survivor. I think she is like a really hard worker. I think she doesn't cause a lot of waves. She's like a good friend to everyone. Mm-hmm. I think Marissa makes it far, far, far.
Yeah.
Cameron, I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it. I think everyone is trying to date Cameron.
True.
Of everything about him. I think Marissa makes it farther than Cameron. I think Cameron, does he make it? I think he certainly makes it to the merge. He makes it to the merge.
I was going to say Cameron might be the merge boot.
I totally get that, where it's like right after that, yeah.
Mm-hmm, because he would be like a front runner in the pre-merge, mm-hmm. and then everyone would be like, we have to get out the golden Probst boy.
Like, really thinks he's great. He's like, Cameron coming in with the puzzle. You know what I mean? Like, just like Jeff loves him or something. Like that for sure. But I think Marissa, I would say maybe Marissa makes it like to the final three, maybe final four.
Yeah, she loses fire at final four,
oh,
you know?
Yeah, totally. Like it's yeah. like, and then everyone, like, even the jury is like, oh no, Marissa.
See, they're all like, we were rooting for you. No.
Yeah, seriously. Like the fire competition is wild. Who's doing fire with her, do you think?
It's either, honestly, it's Samuel. So McKinley wins the last individual immunity challenge.
Good for McKinley.
She sends Marissa and Samuel to fire because they're her biggest threats. Oh, and Samuel beats Marissa, and that's what gets him the like final notch in his belt to win overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Dang, who's the other member of the final three? I think Lindsay. I think it's Samuel, Lindsay, yeah. McKinley. McKinley picks Lindsay because she knows that, like, people aren't all the way on board with Lindsay, mm-hmm. and then she sends Samuel and Marissa to fire.
Yeah.
And Hannah got out at final five. Poor Hannah.
Oh, poor Hannah. And, like, it's definitely the sad one. Everyone is, like, mm-hmm. very upset about Hannah leaving. But it's also, like, she can't make it to the end.
Yeah, because she'll beat everyone, she and Damien.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, there it is. That was fun. Samuel, Lindsay, McKinley, top three. Marissa mm-hmm. goes out at four. Mm-hmm. Hannah goes out at five. Damien mm-hmm. goes out at six. Mm-hmm. Cameron goes out. No, Emily goes out at seven. Cameron goes out at eight.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce goes out at nine.
Mm-hmm.
Alex at 10. Mm-hmm. Who's the first boot between Mateus and Ellis?
I think Ellis.
Okay, so then Mateus, then Ellis. So yeah. Reverse the order of what I just said, and that's the order they all get voted out in Survivor.
I love that. Let's have a Glee Project reunion, but in
where
Fiji.
We all go to Fiji, we put them on a beach, we cut them off from society, take away their food.
Dude, can we be Jeff Probst if that happens? I would love that. Okay,
can you imagine? We start this event, we reach out to all of them. We're like, hey.
Hey, we run this stupid podcast.
Yeah, we're talking about the Glee Project, and we thought it'd be really, really fun if we could do a big Glee Project reunion, like it's the 10-year anniversary. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And we're like, all expense paid reunion in Fiji. And they're like, okay, I guess. They get to the island. We take all their phones, and we're like, now you have to vote each other off. Go!
It's Survivor. That sounds like. Survivor, but a Saw trap. Wait, is that a really good horror movie idea? That two really power hungry jerks pretend that they're doing a high school reunion in Fiji, but end up doing a Survivor, but actually killing the people who get voted off. Is that so fun?
Honestly, does that exist? That is so fun.
We're gonna write it. Well, we're not gonna write it. We're gonna do it with the Cleveland.
We're gonna do it in
but
real
they're not
life.
Gonna die. They're not gonna die.
But we will make them think they died to do what they do in the Glee Project, which is psychologically torture these contestants. And then once they get voted out, they realize that everyone actually is still alive.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God. You know, the other day on Survivor, when they kept talking about, what's his name? When they were doing the life or death challenge.
Deshaun.
Deshaun, they kept talking about it you could die. And I understand, when you leave the game in Survivor, it's you didn't survive, you died, and you essentially are voted off the island, you metaphorically die. I understand that. But they never get down on the dying metaphor very frequently. They kind of keep it upbeat. You know, they don't die.
Yeah.
But literally Jeff Probst kept being this is a deadly consequence. You could die. And then he kept being would you play at home? And it's what do you mean, Jeffrey?
So it's I need you to say on air that you're not going to kill Deshaun if he loses this.
Going on. I understand you want the stakes to be high, but I don't know, why the death metaphor now? You've never done this before, Jeff.
Oh,
anyway,
my gosh.
That's a whole thing. Yanula, I really appreciate your message for multiple reasons. I appreciate you your candor and your openness and your honesty. I appreciate that with us. And listen, I will never turn down a Survivor question.
Truly.
What the heck? So,
I love a Survivor question.
Seriously. So thank you so much, Yanula. Up next, we have a message from Jamie.
Hey, LPC and Ian. So I was midway listening to your episode on the Glee Project, and let me tell you, I have some thoughts. First of all, I think it's so ironic that Ryan's whole thing is that he wants people to show their character. However, when Bryce points out to Zach that the music video isn't what his character would act like, you can tell he just sees it as more attitude. Don't get me wrong, Bryce did talk back to the adults and make it difficult for them, but the fact that he wanted to show his character better and got punished for it? Disgusting. Second, I feel like we need some justice for Lindsay Pierce. She was done so dirty with all of the edits throughout the show, and I can't believe it. I definitely believe that she crossed the line, especially with Ellis, but the editors of the show took it way too far, especially in vulnerability when they were talking about their boards. In the episode, you can tell there's something disjointed about her talking, and mm-hmm. it's because she originally said something a lot different. In an interview, Lindsay said that originally she talked about being abused by a past boyfriend, and instead of showing that, they took parts of her sentences to make her seem vain and selfish. on top of that, they clearly edited her talking just before that to make it seem like she was talking for way too long when, like, maybe she's just passionate. And if no one asks her to stop talking for a bit, then how is she meant to know? I have many more thoughts with this show, but I don't want to cram them all into this email, so you'll probably hear from me again. Anyway, I hope you guys have a good Christmas. Jamie, he, him. P.S. We've had many discussions about different aspects on the Glee Project on the Discord, so everyone should join right now. Everyone get on that Discord, yeah, baby.
I love a Discord plug. Thank you, Jamie. Jamie, thank you so much for this message. And hearing this and is, like, so sad because I feel like I definitely relate to Lindsay in a lot of ways. I feel like sometimes, like, I have, like, gotten in trouble for, like, being a bitch who, like, talks too much. And, like, I find out later that people thought I was really annoying. And I was like, oh, my God, I totally would have, like, shut up if people would have said something. Like, if people would have said, like, give this person a chance to chat, I would have. And I feel like I've had a lot of embarrassing moments like that. And so hearing about this and hearing about how they're, like, specifically, like, editing her even in these moments of, like, huge vulnerability is just so sad. And, like, it makes me upset to hear because, like, they're making her seem so, you know, like, you know, and I don't know, like you said, like, she certainly crossed a line with Ellis, but, like, no one other than Ellis is really, like, talking to her about, like, all their feelings. You know what I mean? Which it's, I don't know.
Yeah. I think I understand that, like, you know, reality TV editors, their job is to, like, make a coherent story out of, like, hours and hours of content. And I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, man, reality TV show editors can be, like, such villains. And you know, like, spoilers for the Glee Project, but you already know this because we watched season 3 of Glee. Like, Damien and Samuel win.
What?
And so, like, these editors, and I'm sure that Damien and Samuel are great guys, genuinely.
Oh, for sure.
But, like, they're going out of their way to make Damien and Samuel look amazing and make...
Oh, absolutely.
Make the runners-up look bad in comparison. Because, you know, it gets down to, like, a certain number of people, and they want the audience to be like, oh, I hope Damien and Samuel beat out these people. And so I'm sure every kid in this show, because they are a kid, has moments where they are super kind to each other and they're great. And they have moments where they're selfish and they, like, say crappy stuff. And it's like, for the winners, they're only shown their good stuff. And then for other people, they only show the bad stuff because they want us to root against them. And it's just, like, so screwed up. And I hate it.
Yeah,
one of, like, the big moments I remember of reality television where I was like, the editors are going out of their way to just, like, destroy this person was on The Bachelor when it was freaking Pilot Pete as The Bachelor. And it's when Kelly got voted off. I mean, didn't get voted off, when Kelly didn't get a rose. And they were trying to, because Kelly was, like, a huge fan favorite.
Yeah.
And so the editors were going out of their way to make Kelly look bad in that episode so people wouldn't be mad that she got sent home.
Totally.
And they do this talking head with Kelly where she says, I'm a lawyer. And what are these other girls? And, like, on paper, that makes Kelly sound like such a bitch and so self-centered.
Totally.
But if you listen, they don't show her say it. It is a voiceover, and her tonality of voice is different, and it is clearly Frankenstein together. And it is likely from the first episode, Kelly saying, hi, I'm Kelly, and I'm a lawyer. And then in another episode, other girls were doing stuff, and she was like, what are these other girls doing?
Yeah, totally.
And then they just shoved those together to be like, and now it looks like Kelly looks down on everyone else because she's a lawyer. Like, reality TV editors do that crap all the time. It is jacked
honestly
up.
They're artists, they really do a good job, which sucks so bad because I have to, I don't know, and I'm not really thinking about it. You even saying, like, they're making Damien look so good, I'm like, God, I'm really on Damien's side right now because they are picking all of him saying, like, the most lovely things about all of his friends, you know? We only see him saying lovely things about his friends. We only see Lindsay saying terrible things about other people, which I'm sure they're all saying all of it. mm-hmm. you know, which like these kids are all multifaceted. They all probably have good opinions and bad opinions about everyone, you know, and it sucks hearing that, like, especially Lindsay being prodded to be so open with talking about like past abuse and them absolutely like ruining that trust she had with them and taking it and making her look bad. And that's mm-hmm. like so terrible, you know? And like, obviously they were making all of these kids like look very vulnerable. They were all saying things that were very vulnerable to them, but like, especially Lindsay, where they didn't even give her the decency of like her truth.
Yeah. Showing what she's actually, yeah. they showed her say that she feels like she's a trophy.
Yeah.
Instead of the part where she says she feels that way because she was abused in the past.
And it's like, listen to the conversation we had about it. We were like, Lindsay sounds ridiculous. I watched that and I said, Lindsay, what is your deal? I said, mm-hmm. why would you ever say, like, why would you think that this is something to say? When it's like, hearing this illuminates that. It's like, of course that would make you feel like a trophy and that you were being used, you know? Shit, dog. I don't even know anymore.
Dang. Well,
Jamie, I really appreciate you sending us that. I do think it just like, I think going forward watching the Glee Project, the lens of this is all doctored together is something that we should keep in mind. So I really appreciate that message, Jamie. Heck.
Dang.
Do you still want to take a minute quiz?
How long is this quiz? I'd like to.
I'd like to as well. But we are at 42 minutes.
Yeah.
But it is Christmas.
Let's do it.
Okay, perfect. Honestly, if it's too long, then let's not.
It's 14 questions. Let's hit it.
We'll do it fast. Okay, y'all. Yeah. Because it's Christmas, we're giving ourselves a little gift and we're going to do a little quiz. I'll post it on the subreddit if I know how to post. I don't know how to post on Reddit.
It's called What Good Glee Character Are You?
It's by the username Piss Rats.
that's mainly why we chose it, because Piss Rat, come on. All right, question one. What's your oral hygiene routine? You have not brushed your teeth since summer 2009, flossing and brushing. The whole routine, floss, brush, mouthwash, and if you have a retainer, you wear it, brushing only. The whole routine, floss, brush, mouthwash is mine.
I don't use mouthwash because it hurts my mouth, so I brushing and flossing. Question two, pick a non-villager AC character, Animal Crossing. Okay, Timmy and Tommy, Isabel, the Able Sisters, Tom Nook, Lyle, Rossetti, Tormentier, I'm sorry, the Dodos. Tortimer, thank you. The Dodos, Phyllis, Blathers, Flick, or CJ. Oh, what am I going to pick?
I do not like Flick and CJ. I'll come out and say it right now.
I love Flick. I just think he's so cute. But Blathers is my boyfriend. I also do really love an Isabel.
I was going to say, I'm doing Blathers, Isabel. Baby. I'm doing Isabel. All right, pick a One Direction song. Diana, Infinity, I Want, Over Again, Olivia, Little Things, Rock Me, Little Black Dress, Girl Almighty, Little White Lies, Some Mistakes. Good thing about me, I don't know what any of these songs are.
You know what I'm picking? Let's have another toast with the Girl Almighty. Every time I'm really sad and I feel shitty about myself, I listen to that song and I listen to She's Not Afraid of Scary Movies and I immediately feel so much better. One Direction really has saved my mental health.
I picked Girl Almighty because it's the only one of those songs I've ever heard of. So.
And isn't it so fun? I'm sure you've heard a bunch of them. Would you cut your own bangs?
No.
No, you have to go to a professional. Yes, I have bangs. I cut them myself right now. I have bangs, but I didn't like it. I'm going to put no, I have to go to a professional, because if I cut my own hair, I would absolutely ruin it.
Opinion on ranch? Good, meh, bad. Good.
Good. pick the closest one to your aesthetic or whatever you want to have. Skater / grunge, ew, gross, a prep, cottagecore / soft girl, athleisure. I'm going to put cottagecore / goth girl, but also I like plaid, so I
mostly wear dresses. Athleisure, I don't do any sort of sports, but I wear sweatpants every day because I'm too lazy to put on actual pants. So, will you cry in front of people? Yes. Look, buddy, crying is between me and God, and that's it. Crying's between me and God.
I love that. We're two sides of the same coin, you and me. It took a second for me to read this. Do you have mentio iunis? Yes, I'm normal or no?
I love yes, I'm normal.
But yes, I'm normal.
Like, I'm not one of those weirdos who's well-adjusted. pick a One Direction member. Louis, Niall, Harry, who? Liam, Zayn.
Louis,
do you guys know that I don't know One Direction?
I'm thinking Harry. I also do love Liam.
I mean, Harry, I couldn't even pick one of the other ones out of a crowd.
What juice? Grape, juice by Lizzo, orange, apple, cranberry, juice by Lizzo.
Juice by Lizzo 2, second place is orange. Do you want the solo? No, I don't care. No, I'm Mike, I can't sing. Yes, but Rachel will probably get it over me. Yes. Just yes. I'll fight Rachel.
Yes, yeah. Vegetarian, stereotypical white family summer vacation in the Grand Canyon or Mount Rushmore, Disneyland / any theme park, somewhere in Europe, your wealthy family member's summer home on the beach or lake. I'm picking Disneyland.
I did somewhere in Europe. Somewhere in Europe. That was somewhere that's green. I see you have a clementine. Will you perhaps spare a few segments for me? You can have half.
This quiz is funny.
You can have half. If you wanted a clementine, you should have brought your own. I brought another one just for you, babe. One or two, maybe. You can have the whole thing. One or two, maybe, is my answer.
I'm going to put, you can, I brought another just for you, babe. I am a serial clementine stealer. pick one of Mr. Shoe's love interests. Holly Holiday, Terry, Emma Pillsbury, April Rhodes. April Rhodes, baby.
Terry Schuster, baby. I miss her so much forever in our hearts.
I know.
When are you coming back to the show, Jesslyn? Genuinely.
Who'd you get?
I got Quinn, and it's specifically a picture of Skank Quinn.
I love that. I got Sam.
Oh, heck yeah. We're dating for one season.
For just a couple of episodes. All right. What does yours say?
Also, hear me out. This does make sense.
I know. You I Sam really like Mia's
Quinn
I,
does make
I
sense.
I really do think that's a good. we take quizzes all the time. And listen, we're both Rachels, but I feel like this makes a bit more sense.
This does. Also, this description is hilarious.
Okay, tell
hot.
Me. Yes.
You've had true. You've had a lot of ups and downs, but you never seem to learn any lessons from life and go back to your old habits.
Are you kidding? That's funny.
Punk Quinn was peak Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you never learn any lessons from life and go back to your old habits is like the definition of the way Quinn Fabre is written.
I love that.
Ugh.
Okay.
Mine all right. Says, what does it say for Sam?
Jock/himbo rides. Yay.
Heck yeah.
Being stupid is your God-given right, but what matters is you have talents elsewhere. Most people like you, and there's not a lot of drama involving you specifically, but you have some problematic friends, and it seems like they're always fighting. You have golden retriever energy.
Aww. That's
honestly best Christmas present I've ever received is getting Sam on this U quiz. Dang. You guys, I really love it. Being stupid is your God-given right. Bitch, you already know. I love that. Yay.
Man, best piss quiz rat ever. You piss really rat. Knocked it out of the park on this one. That was a good quiz.
I'll share that quiz on like all the social media. That one was fun. Lots of 1D questions, and I appreciated that. Well, dog, it is. That was your mini-sode. We will see you here, same time, same place, next week for the next mini-sode. We're going to be talking about the episode that comes out on Wednesday. That episode is, we talk about four freaking episodes of The Glee Project. I don't know what they are, but we're ending
Danceability,
with...
Danceability, parability, tenacity, and sexuality. Yeah.
There it is. So we're talking about those episodes. You better be watching them. But honestly, no, I respect you if you're not going to watch it. But it is fun. So come have fun with us if you'd like. We'll see you here on Wednesday to watch that. If you have thoughts on any of those episodes, which there's lots to talk about, we definitely want to hear from all of you if you have the thoughts. And you can send them to our email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah.
Have a great 2022. You will hear from us again before the new year, but...
Yeah, you definitely will.
Love you all.
Seriously, love you so much. Auld Lang Syne. Here's a mini kiss on your mini freaking forehead if you accept it.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.